this technology harnesses that light. So this is a really important part of the journey, is recognizing that we are not physical bodies. We are beings of light. How appropriate is it that light can heal us, and that the light that we find in the stars and the sun is actually within us? And so it's kind of like, you know, God within us, the creator, the Holy Spirit, and that's how I feel about it. And it's very empowering. So we don't need a plug. We are the power source.
All right. Welcome to the New Age Human Podcast. I'm your host, John Astacio. And today we're speaking with Elisa St. George, who is actively introducing open-minded individuals to health benefits of lightwave phototherapy technology. We go into her health challenges, a bit on the technology and how it works, and a $5,000 trip to the zoo. So that's very expensive zoo trip. So if you're curious about how she uses light to help improve health, you're not going to want to miss out on this episode. Now, I'm really looking to grow the show, and I want to make sure that we're creating the right content that you're interested in and that you'll benefit. What you could do is go to newagehuman.com and hit that contact button. It reaches out straight to me via email. What we're looking for is some feedback from you on what's working, what's not working, and even some suggestions on any guests that you feel would be great for the show. Now, with that said, thank you for joining us today, and let's get to the show. Elisa St. George, thanks for coming on the show. How's it going?
Fantastic, John. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I'm excited to have you on. I feel like I say this every single time. I'm just going to keep saying it because it's authentic. I'm excited. We're going to talk about your holistic journey and some new tech, and I'm always into new tech. So let's just go straight into it. I want to know, what were you doing before you started your holistic journey?
I was taking meds like many people, right? I'm a cancer survivor. I don't typically use that to identify or define myself, but that's where I was, still living in fear, right? Cancer is a big deal.
And, yeah,
you know, even when you're cured or in remission, people go through a lot of anxiety for many, many years about recurrence. And so I was in that place, fearful, taking long-term medication to prevent a recurrence, seeing other parts of my health decline, and never really thought about too much about any other options or any other path. So that's where I was before everything happened.
So what happened? I want to say that, like, thanks for sharing and being authentic with just the fact that it can be very scary. And for those that haven't had that experience, it's allowing them to get into the mind of someone that's a survivor. And it does sound like it's important for you to say you're a survivor, because am I right? When you say that, it helps you put it in the past and be able to move forward.
Absolutely. It took me a long time to use that word.
Wow. Cause they're like, I'm a survivor, you know? And I'm thinking about like that Beyonce song.
That's right.
But yeah, like there's power in words. So, absolutely. It sounds like something happened that put you on a really good trajectory. So go ahead. I'm curious what happened.
Yeah. So we all experienced this COVID crisis, right? For lack of a better way to describe it. And I was still in that fear mode. And so it was a beautiful transition for me, because it was a familiar place for me. I was comfortable with it. I'm in fear of other things. Now I'm in fear of something else. We just add something else to the plate, right? Right. And so for those first months, I was a lunatic, just like all the rest. I was washing groceries in my sink. My poor husband, I was washing groceries. Like, oh, you have to wash those. Take off your shoes. And he's just lovingly accepted where I was at that time. Gently tried to talk to me about my anxiety and the level of concern that maybe it was superseding, you know, the average level. He worked in the auto body business. And so guys have a very different view of this kind of thing. And it challenged me, right? Because he's like, I'm going to work and No one's asking me to put a mask on, and I'm getting my job done, and nothing's changed for me. And so that started to sink in. We got sent home from work, and that's when things started to change. I never had experienced a work-life balance. So I went into the workforce full-time when my kids were young. I had four kids, and I was a single mom at the time, and I was right on the cusp of getting over all of my treatment. So that job was intensely secure for me, and it provided health insurance, provided income that I didn't have. And so I felt not obligated, but I felt really like I owed those people that hired me a lot. And so I gave everything, which meant if my kids called, I didn't take the call.
Wow.
I was raised in an era where work ethic was really strict, and there was really no connection between work and home. There was no balance. And so for me, it was like, okay, I got this job. I need this job. I'm going to put everything I have into this job, and it's going to provide me what I'm looking for. And so when I went home from COVID, many years later, I'm working from home, my kids are grown, I found this world that just opened up to me. And that was the first striking difference in the way I had been living.
Now you say this world that opened up for you, are you saying the time freedom of being at home and just, it's a different world, right? Are you talking about that?
Yes. So I'm pretty self-disciplined. And for me, it was a beautiful marriage because I could get my job done very easily while I was doing other things. And I also was comfortable with having the computer on 10 hours a day, but getting 8 hours of work in. And I became more spontaneous. Oh my gosh, the sun's out. It's beautiful. I'm going out to sit in the sun or walk the dogs for a little bit. And I could do that. So for me, this was a brand new world, and I was, didn't know then, but never looking back to the old way of doing things.
Yeah. And it's interesting for you because you were talking about just not too much before how you were dealing with anxiety after, you know, the lockdowns, but you're used to being home. So I can see it not, I can see something, it's more of a health thing that was driving the anxiety. And the point I wanted to get across as I tried to hone in what I want to say is that I'm surprised that you actually adapted to working at home a lot easier than a lot of people that I know of, because very few people are self-disciplined, and you're like, I'm self-disciplined now. Was it a hard transition? I know we're kind of going off on a tangent,
no
but
problem.
I'm just very curious.
No, not at all. Like I said, it was easy. They allowed us to take laptops home, which we had never been given permission for in the past. They meaning State of Connecticut, our employer, all of a sudden trusted us. Whereas previously it felt like a level of distrust. We were never treated the way others on campus I worked at in higher education. The staff were never treated as the faculty. So all of a sudden we got these privileges that they've always had. And wow, did that feel great? You could take a laptop home. You can work from home. You know, you could control your own schedule, put in your hours on your own. So,
okay.
Yeah. So that was opened up a whole new world. And then of course, because that anxiety was prompted by fear, I started researching. I was just digging. Every free minute I had, I was digging. I had podcasts on in the background while I was doing work. And the amount of information available was just crazy. It was crazy. I could have done that full time, you know, 12 hours a day. But the things that were coming through and that were resonating with me were chipping away at those old beliefs. And it didn't take very long before like that whole belief system started to crumble.
Is there one thing specifically? So you're at home, you're working from home, and you're able to be spontaneous. And then at the same time, you have this newfound ability to do a lot of research, and it's fueled by anxiety and maybe some distrust and some curiosity. So my curiosity is, what made you want to do research? Was it versus believing everything you hear on the news or, you know, what everybody's telling you? Because you could have just been like, all right, you know, I'm just going to listen for the next step. What made you say, I'm going to research this?
It was a series of divine interventions, honestly. You know, the anxiety fueled the need to control. What can I control? What can't I control? I was also trying to make sense of, why are some people way over here on the spectrum of their reaction, and some people are way over here? Where do I fit in there? And so I have never been someone to just listen. My husband says I'm the devil's best advocate. He doesn't need any more advocacy, he says. And I say, well, I'm not advocating for the devil. I'm opening my mind. And so what I thought was open-mindedness in my past was, to an extent, but it was really the I didn't know that it could be opened so wide. I always saw different perspectives of things. And so I would say, well, what about this? And then he would say, you know, devil doesn't need any more advocacy. But when I realized how far those floodgates really do open, it started something that I wasn't expecting. And so those little divine interventions came in. I never fit into the Facebook mold, into the typical social acceptance kind of framework. I was always the kid that stood out. I was always different, and it felt really uncomfortable for me. I had quite a challenging childhood. So that was the norm for me. So feeling like the outsider here, when all of a sudden my views didn't necessarily coincide with the narrative, was comfortable for me. It was painful. I was surprised at how painful it was. I was okay with being different and thinking differently and making different decisions and being identified and stigmatized as a bad person who didn't care about others. That was the painful part. And when family and friends, you know, had some of those same opinions, and I kind of fell into that pool of people that weren't following the narrative, it hurt. It hurt a lot.
And it's interesting, certain phrases that you're saying, I feel like the people that are in the same situation as you are very familiar with those phrases, as far as the narrative, right? The public facing answers. There's usually the public and then the real, and right, controlling the masses, and the excuse of, well, they're not ready for the actual situation. And there's such a gray area there. Well, you said divine intervention. Is there one specific one that you can remember that you can share that was like, you know, that made you say, this has to be a divine intervention, whether it couldn't be coincidence?
Sure. I would say mostly it was the experiences I was having. I found myself in the midst of like-minded people in a world where everyone around me was following the narrative. I found myself in these little pockets of people. We were finding each other, and it was strange, right? So you almost started to sense, when you met someone, whether it be online or in person, which way they kind of swayed. What were their feelings? How were they reacting and dealing with this? And so little by little, that tribe started to grow, and I felt, wow, I'm not completely alone, right? You know, one of the experiences that I had was with LifeWave in particular. At that time, I was not a Facebook person. I happened to be on because I was communicating with someone through Messenger and saw on my feed, click on this Zoom. We're having a Zoom in 5 minutes. You know, join us. I had no idea what it was about. I'm a busy person. I'm always active. I'm always got three or four things happening at once. Something made me click on that Zoom. I ended up in, you know, a community of people who were just sharing amazing things. And I was searching at that time for a new path. And so that was just one of the examples. But it was finding that very small demographic of people in a sea full of normies, if you will, that just couldn't have been coincidence. I mean, it's like finding a needle in a haystack, and it happened over and over and over again. And you were part of that community, John.
Yeah, it's interesting when you're, as society and our local community starts to get divided, and you have perspectives and belief structures that navigate you towards decisions that can be completely different. It's a challenge, right? To find your people, your community. And then there's communities within communities within communities. So it's
sure.
Where do you sit and all that. So I can see how, yeah, it's kind of interesting where, and I know what you're talking about. You're doing your thing, and then you just by chance start talking with somebody, and then you're like, oh, this is my people. Right. And you're like, this is not a coincidence. This is not a coincidence. Let me just, and then you just keep going, and then it grows. So it's very interesting. So quick question. Let's talk about this technology that you're working with and how you found out about it and what's going on with this. It's, I don't want to give it up. And I think you started to get into it. So what's going on with this technology that you're working with?
Sure. So I clicked on this Zoom, and I only knew one person on the Zoom, and I didn't know that person very closely. She's a popular influencer person, very controversial, and I just happened to click on the Zoom to see what was up, and she was having a conversation with many other people about this technology that she happens to be using with some of the trafficked children that she rescues. Pretty powerful. And I thought, wow, I'm looking and searching for some way to contribute to this new world. I'm done with an old paradigm, done with the pharmaceuticals. I basically just stopped all the medications I was taking to the dismay of my youngest daughter, who was kind of freaked out at the time. And thought, well, it's meant to be here at this time. And I feel like many of the moments over the past 4 years have validated that, right? You were born for a time such as this kind of thing. So I just dug in and just decided right then and there it was an easy path to take. Those times of ease I'm finding are when I feel most reassured that it's the correct path. It falls into my lap. It happens before I know what happened. It's almost like a surreal event. And then I look back and say, how did I just do that? what just happened kind of thing? Almost like it was out of my own control. So, and what the technology is a very simple but very effective form of phototherapy. So people are very familiar with phototherapy. Babies get plugged in under the light when they're jaundiced. Adults use far infrared light in saunas. We have the red light therapy that people will undergo sometimes at a, you know, a spa or that kind of thing. So people are really familiar with phototherapy. And of course, the best example yet, the sun, right? So
yeah,
I'm a strong believer in a creator who created a universe that was intended specifically to support us, human life. And I think the sun has been demonized. I think that's a whole different rabbit hole, a different story.
Yeah. I can see you fighting it. You're like,
But I think everyone can agree, when you're in the sun, you feel better, right? You feel great. And they always tell us, oh, that suntan means you're damaging yourself. You're killing yourself. But wow, does it feel good? So people are familiar with vitamin D and how your body just is able to up its production when you're in the sunlight. And there's so many other crazy benefits that we're not even aware of. So this patch harnesses the light within us. And so this is a really important part of the journey, is recognizing that we are not physical bodies, right? We are beings of light. And how appropriate is it that light can heal us, and that the light that we find in the stars and the sun is actually within us? And so it's kind of like, you know, God within us, the creator, the Holy Spirit. And that's how I feel about it. And it's very empowering. So we don't need a plug. We are the power source. The human body was designed to heal itself, to be strong and powerful. And this technology harnesses that light. So when we're outside in the evening, you can see infrared with infrared goggles, right? You can see the night vision goggles, our heat, our body light coming off of us, animals, all kinds of things. And so that heat and light hits this little patch, the little white spot here in the patch, which is embedded with all natural amino acids, sugars, salts, and communications, actually, that reflect light waves back into the cells. Mind you, the only thing going into your body is light waves. And those light waves communicate to your cells ways to enhance biological reactions that are already happening, but just happen to kind of slow down as we age.
So you basically broke down a light wave patch that is reflecting the light that is coming off the body to be able to heal the body. So it's like, yeah, it's redirecting your own light so that it's almost like as your light escapes, it's like, no, let's turn around and, like, you know, let's work with you, so to speak. That's pretty. And
exactly.
There's different types of locations, from what I remember, that you mentioned in the past for these patches. And I saw that, for anybody that's listening only, she has a patch right where, I guess, what do you call that area between your pointer finger and your thumb?
I'm like, still learning about the meridians and the acupressure points, but those are pretty powerful. And this is Eastern medicine meets Western, right? So I love it. There's tons of science to back up what's happening in the body. And at the same time, we're working with energy. Mm-hmm. So it's a melding of worlds. And I think it's a little bit easier for the average person to accept when they see clinical study after clinical study done in, you know, universities around the world and in the, like, the institute in Ireland that does a lot of stem cell research.
Mm. And so you were talking about meridians. Do you recommend putting these patches on the meridians, because it makes sense? I think those are major points of the body when it comes to the light flow, or just flow of energy.
Yeah, exactly. And different points may be more effective for different people. So what I'm learning is not only physical scar tissue can block energy flow, but also emotional scar tissue, right, can block energy flow. And so someone might put the patch in a location that they think is going to be helpful, and they don't get the same result as someone else. And so it's a very individualized journey. The patch is not healing you. The patch is opening up the body's supportive mechanisms for healing itself. And so we have to trust the body. We have to listen. We're not just following a script, right, and saying, put it on here at this time, and this is what's going to happen. So it's quantum. It's not linear.
Interesting.
It's pretty cool.
When someone has, are you saying that it's hard for the patch to work if it's an emotional thing, or do you have to position it differently because of an emotional blockage?
Yeah, I'm just saying that one location doesn't necessarily work for everybody. When they did the studies, they used two particular locations so that there was consistency and they could actually, you know, claim statistical significance. So there's two spots, one here in the back of the neck and then one directly under the belly button. Both are powerful locations for the flow of energy. Typically, I tell people if they have an upper body issue that they're trying to address, put it up behind the neck, and lower body, put it below the belly button. But like I said, they have to be open to listening and to adjusting, you know, as appropriate.
Right. So this is a healing experience, a healing technology. What has been your personal experience with it? I'm sure you have like your personal experience or any story of someone else having like an unexpected experience from it.
Yeah. So I've been wearing it for 7 months. And honestly, there have been a lot of surprises, a lot of pleasant surprises. And, you know, many people will say, well, there's the placebo effect. And I always say, well, number one, placebo effect is affecting everything. I mean, you take an aspirin because you know it works for you. There's definitely a mind-body effect there. You're expecting it and works every time, so it's going to work. you know, so it's not, placebo effect isn't necessarily a bad thing. We put the patch on pets and see miraculous results with, you know, eyesight being restored. There's not a placebo effect there, right? So we can eliminate some of that concern while acknowledging that it exists as well, right?
So for that eyesight, was that the pet or was that a person?
That was a pet. That was, several dogs I've seen,
Wow. Because, your pet is like your best friend. So
exactly.
If you can stop your pet from walking into doors and stuff, you know, that would be awesome. But I'm joking around, but that's pretty cool. But they're furry. Do you like shave an area and then put it on or you put it like?
So all pets are different, right? Depends on your pet. Our pets are furry and our pets eat the patches, which did not pose a problem. Just came out, you know, when they did their business.
Yes.
But they're safe for ingestion. And so we just put, when we finish with our patch every evening, we take it off and rest our body. We put our used patch on our pet with a little masking tape on the back of their back where they can't get to it.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So what do you use it for?
Sure.
'Cause I know that you actively use the patches.
Yes. So 7 months ago when I started, I didn't know much about it at all. Many people who start are skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's unfamiliar, never heard of it. So I started wearing the patch after I did a ton of research. So I'm a research nerd, looked at all the science, tons of testimonies, and determined that at least that it was safe. I didn't know if it was effective or what it was doing. Safe and effective, right? So I started wearing it. And the first thing I noticed was improved energy during the day. So that boosted pretty quickly. 3 or 4 days into it, I noticed I slept deeply and I was having dreams, which was really unusual. Haven't had dreams for many, many years. Those were the first two things. I was experiencing pain everywhere, pretty much. Not all the time, not intense, but from intense chemo and radiation and tamoxifen for 15 years, my joints were old. I mean, I felt stiff and uncomfortable. I would get out of bed and I kind of had to tiptoe in the morning before things kind of lubricated. And I thought, oh my gosh, like I'm in my 50s. I'm not allowing this to happen, you know?
Yeah, it's too soon.
So I was having headaches. My skin was so thin from some of the medications I had been taking that if I scratched too strongly, sometimes it would tear.
That's weird. Okay.
Yeah. I had anxiety. Gosh. Lack of stamina. I didn't really have a mood issue, but I noticed after several weeks, my mood was high. I felt unusually happy and excited and just so hopeful about things, you know, almost like when you come off of a high from some kind of event that's fantastic. And I would turn around and just kind of look like it's Tuesday. You know, November, whatever. Why do I feel so fantastic? Like I'm ready to crank up the music, roll down the windows, and I'm just, just going to get groceries. So it felt great. Some of the experiences my friends have had have been remarkable. So I have a girlfriend who actually stopped her antidepressants after 3 days.
Wow.
And we say we do not diagnose, we do not cure. We do not heal anything. Okay. So we're not making claims. We just share what other people's experiences have been. And although she cautions people against dropping medication like that, she's very intuitive. She knows her body. And that was 3 months ago. Never went back. Feels fantastic.
Awesome.
And she's got a lot of physical pain that she's suffered through the years. Was a childhood asthmatic and has tons of lung damage. So she's amazed. She's sharing it routinely with lots of people. I have a friend.
I was going to say, it helped with your joint health as well.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. So no more pain, no more pain. I mean, obviously if I stub my toe, I'm in pain, but I don't have any chronic under the surface discomfort, you know, that was just always there, flared at certain times. Wow. Yeah. So that's been amazing.
How long did it take for you to notice the changes after wearing the patches that affected your joint health? Because, time of the recording in the U.S., it is winter, especially in the Northeast. And I'm sure people are going to be like, I got a question.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people move south because they can't handle that winter, right? Mm-hmm. It was gradual. And that's the interesting thing about this. It creeps up on you. But I like to think of it as the way disease creeps up on you. We don't know that we're going to be diagnosed with some major illness. It slowly develops over time. And so I tell people the same thing with this. Your body's slowly healing over time. I would say before the third month, I got up one morning and realized it just kind of like hits you. Oh my gosh, I haven't had this feeling in a long time. I didn't record it. You know, we send people home with a health tracker, take pictures of all the ugly things because your collagen boosts like crazy and you're going to notice a lot of really great skin changes. But some of the other things are difficult to document. Many people say, I just feel great. It's hard to pinpoint. I feel younger. I feel happier. I feel healthier. So, you know, it's subjective and each person kind of gets their own miracles, which is the fun part. You just never know. We don't ever tell people to expect a certain thing. We kind of say, well, most people have had this experience. You know, I can say in general, sleep, energy, diminished pain, enhanced mood, strength, like my muscles came back when I started patching. I've been working out for years and years, but all the damage that all those treatments did to my body and then removing all the estrogen for years and years just left me weak. And I started patching and that muscular strength came back. So that's been like my favorite thing. Even though, you know, it's nice to not be in pain, I kind of pushed through pain. Didn't bother me as much as losing the strength. I couldn't open jars. Couldn't do what I used to do at the gym.
Pickle jars.
Yes. It's the little functional things that really make the difference, you know.
Mm. So are there different patches for different aspects? Because you're talking about sleep. You're talking about muscle. You're talking about energy, collagen. Or is it the same patch? Or how does that work?
Yeah. So I'll tell you a little bit about the company. It's a 20-year-old company. It started in 2004 when the inventor was commissioned by the Department of Defense to help them to come up with a natural form of energy for the Navy SEALs. That's when the first patch was born. And very shortly after, David Schmidt started the company. He said, wow, I'm onto something. This actually worked. He tested it on the swim team at Stanford University, and those women went up off to Olympic trials, and most of them broke their records. So then a very beneficial thing happened. The Olympic Committee wanted to look into that, right? They're wearing this patch, and they're all doing fantastic. So it was really one of the best things that happened because they were able to show there's nothing going from the patch into the skin. There's nothing in the bloodstream. We can confirm that. They didn't, you know, indicate that the patches were helping. They couldn't endorse the patches, but they could say with certainty that there was nothing going into the bloodstream. So David Schmidt thought, well, this is something I can really start to market. So between 2004 and 2020, he marketed many products. I don't think humanity was quite ready for those. They did okay. They were passed along through some natural healthcare providers. Everyone was kind of, in my opinion, a little uncomfortable saying, I represent this company. I believe in this company. I endorse this. I want many athletes using the patches. You'll see them on their body. Plenty of photos out there that I could share. They weren't out there saying, you got a patch, because they knew it was giving them a little edge, right? And so for many years,
their hidden secret.
Yeah, it is the best kept secret that is no longer secret. So we're getting to the magic. He developed patches over those years for sleep, for anxiety, for increasing antioxidants. So many different purposes. And the patches kind of went under the radar. Company was doing okay. The inventor started turning his research to stem cells in 2008. And for 10 years, worked on developing the patch that is now the flagship product, the X39 stem cell reactivation and regeneration patch. 10 years, $4.5 million, gets a patent. Mind you, all these products are patented, which requires some level of clinical documentation that what you're claiming in the patent is actually supported. You can't just make a claim. He said he stopped counting at 130 patents. So this guy's brilliant.
Just a couple.
And he brought this to market. The company went from $30 million a year to $320 million a year.
Nice.
Closed last year at 400 and looking to go to 600 million next year, because this product does almost everything. So when we're talking about the extensive benefits, it's crazy. So people will ask, well, will it help with this? Well, you will only know if it helps with that if you put it on your body and wear it, right? You can look up testimonials, but who cares what it did for the person down the street? If it doesn't help you, you know, it's not that beneficial to you. So are you willing to try it? What's your level of commitment? This is not a 1 month thing. Disease doesn't develop in a month and wellness doesn't return in a month. You will start to see incremental benefits. The longer you wear it, the more benefits you're going to see. So this patch is patented to raise GHK, which is a peptide. I'm not a medical person, but the patent says it raises GHK. The documented clinical studies show it raises GHK. That's measurable in blood, urine, all kinds of analysis. When you look at what GHK does, you can go on PubMed. That's where the real research is. You can look at books like this, which tells about copper, GHK, copper peptides.
Oh, that's literally the title of the book.
Yeah. This was written in the 70s. So we've known about GHK, and it's been used in healthcare. I shouldn't say healthcare, and skincare, because one of the obvious benefits, which are visible, are the reduction of fine lines, wrinkles, and all kinds of stuff. So I've been wearing it 7 months. You know, I'm going on 57, so I don't think I look too bad.
No, you're doing pretty good.
But besides those visible, superficial benefits, this doctor says, you know, that the GHK fights pain and anxiety. It affects nervous system genes. It will upregulate genes that are falling asleep, that we need to be active, and it will downregulate genes that are, you know, harmful to us. It repairs damaged DNA. It will open up the pathways for the stem cells that are falling asleep as you age to wake up and actually regenerate. So when those stem cells start regenerating, they automatically know where your body needs healing. That's the part of the magic of our healing machine. I mean, we were designed to heal. We get a cut. Everything goes right to that cut. Says, up, close that cut up, protect it from infection. I mean, it's all in there. So once our stem cells start to wake up, that's exactly what they do. Oh, well, there's something happening in the liver that this person is not even aware of. start going there. We need to kind of fill in here, repair. Oh, you know, I noticed there's some scar tissue from an injury that happened years ago. It's inside. Start to repair that. And so little by little by little, the body is regenerating itself. Regenerative medicine versus the medicine.
Invasive.
That we're, you know, that we're moving away from. We're moving away from those. And everybody feels it. No one really wants to say it.
Yeah.
That system is broken and it's going to be replaced with some of these new modalities.
I like how it's interesting. I see a familiarity with what you were saying. And I'm wondering if that, I think you said GHK is associated with copper. You know how people wear copper bracelets and you drink out of a copper mug. It seems like the similar thing that's happening that's being activated. So it's very interesting. So if anybody is, you know, and yeah, that's right. Copper really, they embed that in socks and you have like the bracelets or you can just simply have a patch and just forget about it, right?
So what happens with these is that we all have metals, right, floating in our body, and it's not necessarily a good thing. A lot of us are detoxing from those types of toxins. Copper can also become toxic if it's floating around and it's not being used the way the body can benefit from it. So if there's excess copper, it's causing oxidative stress and problems. But this patch, when it activates the GHK and increases the level, that's a naturally occurring peptide in our body. It just happens to be declining as we age. When this patch says, start producing that a little more, just like vitamin D, start producing it a little more. As that raises, it finds the copper that's free floating, that's not helping the body, and it binds to it. And then it pulls it into the cells and uses it for good. So it's pretty amazing.
So that's interesting.
It's taking the free radical. I don't, you know, again, I'm not a medical person, but those, the negative reactions that our body has to the excess metals and it takes it and says, I got a good use for this. Bring it over here.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, self-regulating. Pretty awesome. And it makes it, it takes the guesswork out because it, you know, we can't, there's so many systems going on in the body. And to try to tally all the things that need work. And it kind of reminds me of when they're trying to control nature and you introduce, I don't know, like a fox because you have an overpopulation of snakes, but then that changes the whole ecosystem.
Exactly.
And you're trying, it's just hard. It's hard to compete with nature. And if you can empower nature to just do its thing, it makes complete sense. Just let it do its work. Just give it the energy. Just empower it. So I like that.
Oh, that's science, a great
that approach.
Great analogy. Do you take supplements? Everybody does, right?
Yeah, right. I haven't taken that many supplements as of late. I actually want to get, I'm trying to do more of like the raw mineral stuff. So my thing is a lot of what I focus on is water, and at the same time keeping the supplements simple. But yeah, I definitely need to supplement more just because you already know.
Yeah.
Whatever we eat doesn't have that much in it anyway. No. So you have to like supplement somehow. But I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I usually try to ask a question that brings out an interesting story. And you said to ask you about a $5,000 trip visit to San Francisco Zoo for a day. What's going on with that?
Okay, so this could be a heavy, heavy story.
Ooh.
Or it could be a light story. So I'm going to tell it the lighthearted way because we can all benefit from a little humor.
Okay.
And we can all benefit from a different perspective on things, right? So we had a very important event to attend in California during the pandemic. It was something that we couldn't miss. Okay. It was something that was so important that we were willing to compromise our convictions, wear the mask, and we were required to undergo some type of COVID test. Okay. Because we didn't have the vaccine. So we had to show that we were safe. Not wanting to have the little thingy up the nose, we went to a very prestigious lab in our state. As we know now, somehow connected to the political figures in the state.
Okay.
And decided to have a saliva test. No invasive, you know, it's not invasive. Yes, they have our DNA. Again, very few things on this earth would persuade us to go through this, to be in California. We also were bringing multiple family members. So you can imagine it was a family affair. Mm-hmm. And so our children being grown, but not fully on their own and supporting themselves 100%, we were assisting others in flying and staying and attending this event. So we had the DNA spit test done, and we promptly got on a plane because it had to be done within a certain amount of time. It was almost nearly impossible, as you know, for people who weren't following the narrative and doing exactly as we were told. They made things very difficult. So because of the timing, we had to have that done prior to arriving, because I checked San Francisco. There was no way we were getting any kind of saliva test in San Francisco in immediately when we arrived. So we really had no choice. Arrived at San Francisco, had some time to kill, enjoyed a full day at the San Francisco Zoo. Had a fantastic time. It was beautiful weather. We were really enjoying ourselves. I received two calls at the end of that day. Feeling pretty good, right? You know, we had to do what we had to do, but we're here for this once-in-a-lifetime event, right? The first call I got was from my boss, who indicated, hate to tell you this, but please get on your email and check. I know you're in California for such and such event, but I couldn't not warn you, you know, that you're getting an email regarding termination.
Okay, what? Job.
So that put a little damper on. Okay, well, all right. Again, perspective. I'm being put in this position for a reason, and there are changes happening, transition. And I have to be okay with that because I'm not willing to do what they're asking me to do. It's my choice. It's what I'm choosing. So we completed our day. We got in the car, driving back to the hotel, really excited about that evening. We passed the threshold and we were going to be meeting the family members that we hadn't seen yet. Pull into the parking lot at the hotel, second phone call. State of Connecticut lab. You guys are all positive.
Hmm.
Really? We feel fine. Look fine. We got our sense of smell and our taste. Interesting. This is interesting. So we had a decision to make in that moment. We could stay and be stuck or quarantined at the hotel based upon either them disseminating information, which we knew was happening. They could tell the airlines we wouldn't be able to get back on a plane for weeks. We could actually come down sick. We didn't know at that point. You know, we had no idea. And people had to be back at work. You know, it was a very limited time frame. We were told we couldn't attend the event. And so we got everybody back on a plane 24 hours after arriving and flew home.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was our story about our very expensive trip to the San Francisco Zoo.
So, yeah, you went to the original plan was to go to an event that you're not going to describe, just to keep it lighthearted. And it was a family event. So you're going to see a lot of people. And you did. It wasn't to go to the zoo, but you at least enjoyed yourself.
That's right.
But you had to make that quick decision. You're like, all right, we're getting out of here before like we get stuck.
Yes, exactly.
And interesting enough, you guys weren't feeling any symptoms.
Come to find out, the icing on the cake, later that week, this was the lab where the state of Connecticut employees who were following specific directives to get tested were getting tested. They were testing there every week based upon their employer's requirement. I was saying not doing it, but It came through social media that all the tests that week were false positives.
Oh, So you missed this important event because of these false positives.
And it was just the epitome of explaining what that whole COVID crisis was.
right. Without getting into it.
Yep.
Jeez. And the termination had nothing to do with that. It was something else, just bad timing.
The termination had to do with the fact that I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't comply.
Yeah.
They said, all you have to do is just apply for this religious exemption.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with my religious beliefs. It's my bodily autonomy. And I'm not going to sit in front of a group of 20 people and explain and try to, validate my authenticity and my sovereignty. It's not going to happen.
Right. You have to prove yourself. Yeah, no. That's annoying. That's very
annoying.
They
said, it's so easy. Just do this. And the conviction I felt was so strong that I knew that it was the right path for me because there was no question in my mind. So.
Well, yeah. I applaud you for standing your ground on your bodily autonomy. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, yeah, there's challenges that we've overcome just standing your ground on your beliefs and going against the grain. And that's why it's so important to find your tribe. And at the same time, it also, I'm sure, fueled you to find this technology that you're working with right now
exactly.
to help a lot of people, which is awesome. And I'm excited for the future of just health and wellness and the new discoveries that we're making to find solutions. So that's pretty cool. Well, yeah. Thank you for sharing that story. That's very interesting. And that must have been a challenging time. But with that said, now that we know your story, we know about the technology that you're working with, how do people get in touch with you? Is there like a main way to help people find you and connect with you?
Yeah. So the technology is LifeWave X39 patch. Tons of information can be found on YouTube. I know people like to do their own research, see what other people's experiences have been. And we have a main web page that shows all of the information about the product. It's called thisisitinfo.com. Thisisitinfo.com. And I can be reached at Alisa St. George, my name, alisastgeorges.com/home. And that will give you a way to contact me. It can be somewhat complicated. And I really like to advise people so that they're getting the best price and understand the product before they dive in. So I know what their goals and needs are.
Got it. And then I think you're being beamed up by an alien. Is that what that is?
It is.
That was an interesting touch. Sound effects, natural sound effects. So it sounds like it would be good to contact you to do a consult so you can really break it down versus like an a la carte thing. So, okay, cool. It's good to...
It's a person to person, a belly to belly. That's one of the things I love about it. I get to talk with people. I get to learn about them. My goal is to empower people, right? To make decisions that are best for them. And so it's not right for everybody, but for the people it is right for, it can be miraculous. So
awesome. And then for anybody watching or listening, the links will be in the show notes, so you don't have to worry about the spelling and all that. We have a silent S. but yeah, and I love your name. Beautiful name. I like names that have like a silent letter. It just makes things more interesting.
Well, that's not the half of it. The period, space, no space, uppercase, lowercase, is it S-A-I-N-T-S-T? Oh, going on and on with that last name.
Well, Alisa, thank you for coming on the show. I had a blast learning about you more and your story, especially the zoo. That's a very expensive $5,000 for a zoo. We know that it wasn't for the zoo, but you can always pull that out if someone's like, you have any crazy stories? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, and we'll be continuing to talk. Gonna look into the light wave a little bit more. Sounds interesting. I'm thinking about sleep, and that's huge. And then also the anti-aging stuff. So I'm pretty sure people will be interested in that too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, John, for what you do, because you're contributing like immense benefit and value to our community, sharing all this information and just kind of opening up the doors so people have a place to dialogue that's safe.